in President Trump's first State of the Union address this week, he called on both parties to come together on a plan for safe, fast, reliable, and modern infrastructure and to produce a bill to generate at least $1.5 trillion for new infrastructure investment.
We will build gleaming new roads, bridges, highways, railways, and waterways all across our land. And we will do it with American heart, and American hands, and American grit.
But what's ahead for the plan and what roadblocks would need to be addressed? Brianna Gerchlow is a transportation reporter for Politico Pro. Brianna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Rocky Moretti is with us, Director of Policy and Research at the National Transportation Research Group, TRIP. Rocky, welcome to the show.
Rob, thanks for having me on the show.
Brianna, let's start with some of the basics. The president talking about trying to generate $1.5 trillion for infrastructure investment. That doesn't mean the federal government spending $1.5 trillion bucks, right?
That's right. What the administration is expected to propose is actually $200 billion in federal spending.
And where would the other, $1.3 trillion come from then?
That would be spending by state and local governments, as well as spending, in theory, by private investors as well.
And Rocky, can you talk about the state of our nation's infrastructure? What are the needs we have? How extensive are they?
Well, if you look across the country, around a third of major roads, urban roads, have pavements in poor condition. Around one out of every 10 bridges is structurally deficient. We're seeing traffic congestion increasing, particularly in the last 3 years. Vehicle travel since 2013 is up approximately 10% across the country, and that's a good economic sign. The country clearly is seeing a lot of economic growth, but the quality of the infrastructure has a huge impact on the quality of economic growth and also the ability of states to attract growth. And so, you know, we're pleased to see the president so prominently promoting that need for infrastructure, but I think as Brianna has alluded, the real challenge is where all of that additional money is going to come from.
And does that worry you, Rocky, for this plan coming into existence, for this money actually to end up being spent?
Well, if you look at, for example, what's happened over the last 5 years, what we've seen is approximately half of the states have approved significant increases in funding, usually by increasing user fees, usually fuel taxes or registration fees. And it was a recognition that with this tremendous growing infrastructure challenge, that states would need to do a lot more to increase those revenues. So you've got those states that have increased the revenues, and unfortunately in this case, Wisconsin, which really over the last decade at least, has not shown an appetite for significant increases in transportation funding. And so that's going to be the challenge, is crafting by Congress a bill that really incentivizes, but how are the other states going to respond to this call for increased funding?
We'll dig a little more into Wisconsin in a bit, but Brianna, you and your team at Politico put together a timeline on President Trump and his administration when it comes to talking about infrastructure. He's been focusing on this theme, or at least talking about this theme for some time, but not much has happened. Can you give us a little bit of the backstory there?
Sure. So the president has been talking about infrastructure since he was campaigning. During the campaign, Hillary Clinton proposed spending $275 billion on infrastructure, and I believe it was 2016 in the summer. He said that he wanted to have a plan that was twice as large, so something like $550 billion. And it wasn't entirely clear how that would be paid for. It seems that he was suggesting that it would be paid for through debt. Later in the fall, leading up to the election, he released a 100-day action plan, and that included a proposal for a $1 trillion infrastructure plan. And that seemed to be focused more on tax incentives and public-private partnerships. After he was elected, the plan was kind of pushed behind healthcare and tax reform, and there was some talk of possibly tying tax reform and infrastructure together, but it didn't happen. As we all know, the tax reform bill passed in December, and now there's talk in Washington of this being the next big item on the agenda, some drips and dribbles about the administration's infrastructure plan has come out in the meantime. What we know is that that $200 billion, one part of it, half of it, we believe, is going to go toward an incentive program for state and local governments. A quarter of it is going to go to rural infrastructure in the form of block grants. And another part of it will be for transformational or transformative projects. And another part would go to existing loan programs.
We're talking about infrastructure after President Trump brought it up as an issue, as a priority in his State of the Union address. Brianna Gerchlow is with us from Politico and Rocky Moretti from the Transportation Research Group TRIP. So, Rocky, is the money out there? If these incentives are out there, are state and local governments and maybe private businesses going to pick it up and run with it to where we get to something like $1.5 trillion?
Well, you're really going to have to look at that one state at a time. And so, as I've said, around half of the states in the last 5 years have moved forward with significant transportation funding bills. A number of states this year are also, again, looking at increasing their funding. But that would be the challenge. You know, as I've said, in Wisconsin, there hasn't been at the state level a boost in either fuel or registration fees, at least since 2006. And, of course, the bill also talks about promoting large infrastructure bills or large highway or bridge projects, and typically those need a revenue stream which involves tolling. Wisconsin is a state where there hasn't been a movement towards tolling. So it's really a program that says that if states are willing to help themselves, we'll help them, and that's going to be the challenge to Wisconsin and other states.
And Rocky, if you've been watching, you know that transportation has been a big stumbling block in Wisconsin's overall state budget. Two budgets in a row now. The governor today saying he would be open maybe to a gas tax increase if it's offset by decreases in other taxes. This is some of the same debate we've seen over the last few years. Do you think that this kind of infrastructure incentive will successfully incentivize a state like Wisconsin to do something like that?
Well, if you look at Wisconsin, where some major projects like a portion of the I-94 east-west project and a part of the work on the north leg of the Zoo Interchange have been set aside in recent years, and just if you look in the news, since the first of the year, the Madison Beltline has been closed down three times because of buckling of the highways. Obviously, there's significant need to upgrade the infrastructure in the state, and so there's certainly significant incentive, and ultimately if Congress through the House and the Senate craft a bill with these types of incentives, then hopefully that will help states move forward and go ahead and put this funding in place.
And Brianna, getting to the politics of this, some people from both sides of the aisle have said, hey, maybe infrastructure is the place. We're going to disagree on immigration, all this other stuff. Maybe we can work together on infrastructure. Do you see signs that might actually happen?
Well, when I talk to lawmakers, they do see infrastructure as an area where there can be bipartisan cooperation, but then things start to break down when they talk about paying for it and paying for the federal share. So far, the administration has only suggested that $200 billion be paid for by cuts to other areas of the federal budget. They've said that they are open to other pay-fors, but they're really looking to Congress to come up with those, and it being kind of a process of the White House, the Senate, the House working together on coming up with pay-fors. But that's really where the tension comes politically, is how they are going to cover that spending.
And Rocky, that all involves Congress taking action in the year now of the Trump administration. Have you seen any kind of executive action that you see helping or hurting the infrastructure situation?
Well, you know, the challenge, you know, one of the biggest challenges over the last several years with infrastructure investment, at least for surface transportation, has been a lack of adequate funding in the Highway Trust Fund. And so Congress has topped that up with about a third of the funding coming from general fund sources. And there's been a tremendous a desire within the transportation community to see that trust fund made whole by coming up with adequate resources and adequate funding. So that would be a logical first step for Congress at starting to look at the Trump infrastructure proposals, is to work through the existing trust fund mechanism.
We are talking about infrastructure spending in the United States, our roads, bridges, and more. President Trump brought it up in the State of the Union, hoping to get some federal spending to be an incentive for state and local spending as well. We have Brianna Gurciulo with us and Rocky Moretti. We're digging into the president's proposal, what we know about it, what its prospects are. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. National or local level, what are the infrastructure challenges your local community faces? Do you want to see this as a priority for the federal government, for the state government, for that matter? Do you think that Republicans and Democrats can and or should work together on something like this, on making roads and other infrastructure a priority? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. We'll go to your calls now. We've got Jeff on the line in Lauren, Illinois. Jeff, hi.
Hi there. Hey, I heard a study, this was years ago, maybe 15 or 20 years ago, about a particular bridge that had a lot of potholes in it. And someone monitored the bridge by video 24/7, and they added up the amount of cars that got stuck on the bridge because of the potholes. They added up the towing, they added up the repair, they added up the traffic slowdown, and they figured out that if somebody would have fixed the bridge, it would have paid for itself after 2 years. So my point is, you're paying for this infrastructure one way or another. You can't escape it. It sounds like it's a huge expense coming out of nowhere, but it's something that you're paying for on your vehicles anyway, no matter what happens.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Rocky, are we there? We're having enough economic damage from faulty roads and other infrastructure that it's more than it would be or as much as it would be to fix it?
Well, we were in Wisconsin in 2016 doing a report, and we looked at what's the cost of motorists of getting their cars beat up by rough roads, what's the cost of the travel delays to the public, and what's the cost of the economic cost of serious traffic crashes. And we estimated that cost was $6 billion annually in Wisconsin and approximately $2,000 a year for the average motorist in Madison. So the caller is quite correct. As we know in our own lives with our own homes or anything that we're maintaining, that if you don't make the repairs, if you don't make the improvements, you're just going to pay that much more.
Thanks a lot for the call. And Brianna, with where the money is coming from, is there any kind of talk of an increase to the federal gas tax to cover part of the costs here?
Yes. Just today at the GOP retreat in West Virginia, Congressman Bill Schuster, he's a Republican from Pennsylvania and the chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, he said he himself brought up the gas tax at a meeting with Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, with National Economic Council Director Gary Cohn, and GOP lawmakers. And he said that this is something that Congress should consider, raising the gas tax. He wasn't very specific on how much he would support. He threw out the number 15 cents in an interview later with Bloomberg. So he has very much said that is on the table for him.
Let's go back to our callers now. Jim is on the line in Medford. Jim, hi. There we go. Jim, hi.
Question for Rocky. Out of the states that have passed revenue increases in the last 2 years, are the traditional ones such as fuel tax, registration, sales tax, tolls, and how about vehicle mile travel?
Jim, thanks for the call. So, Rocky, for states that have dealt with this, the line is a little hard to hear there. What kind of revenue increases have they done?
Looking back to 2013, so over the last 5 years, in the 25 states that have increased funding for transportation, almost all of them included an increase in user fees for in terms of fuel taxes, and about half of them had boost in registration fees. So those were the two most common. Certainly there were other mechanisms of maybe moving some general funds over. We're starting to see increasingly states are also making sure that there's a tax or an annual fee on ownership of electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles. And that kind of brings to the caller's last point, which is a good one, which is obviously the interest in looking at some way of having what people pay tied in with how much they're driving. and that would lead towards some sort of user fee. Obviously, the big stumbling block was how to do it and how to protect people's privacy. And several states, in Oregon and now California, are taking the lead on working through that mechanism. And so, I think that down the road, that is probably going to be a good way to look at it, because people do recognize the fairness of the more you use the system, the more you pay into it.
Thanks a lot for the call, Jim. And Brianna, getting back to Congress, are members of Congress feeling the heat from governors around the state and state legislatures saying, we've got these problems here, we need some kind of help, participation from the federal government?
I would say so, yes. They've definitely brought this up, and I think lawmakers are taking that into consideration. Both parties as well, both Republicans and Democrats, hearing from governors, from local officials, saying that they've already raised their gas taxes, and what they really need is federal money.
Let's go back to our callers. Darren is with us in Green Bay. Darren, hi.
Yeah, hi. I was just going to say that, Wisconsin is really in dire need of, improvements to the roads and bridges. You had in Green Bay, you had the Leo Frigo Bridge that sank about 6 to 8 inches a few years ago. State Highway 54, being a state highway, you can't even drive the speed limit on it east of Black River Falls because it's so bumpy and torn up. And I don't know where all this money is going to come from with all of these quote-unquote tax reform or tax cuts for the wealthy, which is where most of our taxes come from in this country.
Darren, thanks a lot for the call. Rocky, how do we stack up in Wisconsin? I mean, I assume everybody kind of perceives their roads as uniquely bad. Are we in particularly rough shape here in the state?
The challenge in Wisconsin is initially one of preservation. You've got a high share, about 40% of the state's roads and highways have pavements in either poor or mediocre condition. And like the rest of the country, about 1 in 10 of every bridges is structurally deficient. But the challenge in Wisconsin and really across the country is there's also the need for some additional capacity, certainly in the metro areas, but even some of the other interstates that serve tourism. But the challenge is as these bridges, these heavily traveled bridges and highways age, as you would anticipate, it becomes that much more expensive to make those repairs. And so Wisconsin has an aging system of older bridges carrying significant volumes, and the transportation agencies do the best they can within their resources. But to really start to plan out the long-term reconstruction, replacement of these facilities are really quite expensive, and that's the challenge states are falling into. Their economies rest and ride on those systems, but they're coming to a point where significant investment's going to be due.
I want to bring on one more caller. Devery is with us in Madison. Hi.
Hi. One quick comment and then a question. The quick comment is, yes, I'd love to see the Democrats and the Republicans work together on anything, whether it's transportation or something else. But the question is, how would it be determined what projects these funds would go to? For instance, like here in Madison, 6 or 7 years ago during the Obama administration, we had all those federal tax dollars that were coming in that was supposed to provide more jobs and be used for these big projects. And here in Madison, we were in year two of redoing all of University Avenue, and instead they just took those tax dollars and put it to that. We didn't see any increase in jobs, and it got wasted, in my opinion.
Devery, I want to jump in because we're almost out of time. Brianna, do we have a sense of, if this plan came to fruition, how priorities would be set on what kind of projects, which projects would be funded, just briefly?
Well, how I've heard it described is that the administration will be agnostic in terms of mode. It could go to roads, bridges, tunnels, but it could also go to airports, it could go to waterways, it could go to projects with the electrical grid, it could go to broadband. So the kind of infrastructure isn't so much important. It's what's being weighed is more of the how much that state and local governments are willing to raise themselves. And of course, it's different for, say, a rural project where something like a public-private partnership may not work. Then that would be more of a block grant.
Brianna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Rocky, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Brianna Gruchlo, a transportation reporter for Politico Pro, and Rocky Moretti. He directs policy and research at TRIP. They looked at what's known and unknown about the Trump administration's infrastructure proposal and some of the infrastructure needs around the country and here in Wisconsin. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, we'll visit Puerto Rico to get the latest on recovery efforts still ongoing from last year's hurricane season. We'll find out how the helpful bacteria and other stuff that lives in our gut can impact our health and, apparently, our athletic performance, if any. And on Food Friday, we'll get some recipes for great snacks and dips just in time for our Super Bowl party. You can get a head start. Let us know what you are planning to serve and or eat. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.